It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are with us from Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Okay, what do we want to talk about today?
Ben, I believe last week Wes spoke to you about, you know, fiduciary liability.
Mm-hmm.
And we've mentioned on the program before that it's very ironic, really. I don't think our listeners are aware of this, but fiduciary liability is probably one of the largest bodies of active law right now. One of the most significant growth patterns in the law has been in the area of mm-hmm. fiduciary liability. There are some large law firms in the central area of our state, you know, Raleigh, Greensboro, and they are very large law firms, some of the largest in the state, and they've had hiring freezes, let's say, for instance, in the last few years, mm-hmm. with the exception of their departments relative to fiduciary liability.
Mm.
So it is a growing area of the law, and we at our law firm have seen a tremendous growth in this area of the law. And so let's spend today and next week kind of deciphering what we mean by this, because I realize that I'm throwing around some big words, fiduciary mm-hmm. liability.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start right there and talk about what we mean by that. Wes and I on a weekly basis are seeing executors,
mm-hmm.
trustees,
administrators,
administrators,
yeah. attorneys in fact,
under a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are all fiduciaries. These are people who have responsibility under certain bodies of law to take care of the affairs of another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're taking care of our own affairs,
right.
we can kind of be as sloppy as we wish to be. And the consequences with the IRS, the Department of Revenue, mm-hmm. liabilities, et cetera, lack of insurance, losses at the stock market, lack of insurance coverage for certain properties, all of these things will just fall right back in our lap, won't
mm-hmm.
they?
Right.
But when you are handling the affairs of another, you are not allowed to act in a careless or negligent manner. You are held to a reasonable man standard, reasonable person standard. And if you slip a bit relative to this standard,
mm-hmm.
then, of course, there can be, quote, fiduciary liability.
Right. Okay.
So let's kind of talk about that. Wes, why don't you help us with the standard? I might not have stated it quite accurately, or did I? Is it the reasonable man standard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, generally, that's right. the standard that we yeah. fall back to when we were talking about, you know, the liability of a fiduciary. But, you know, when we're talking about specific areas of the law, such as administering an estate, now, obviously, we've got a lot of statutes that direct exactly what you're required to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the deadlines with regard to the timing of filing certain inventories, accounts, those type things with the court in dealing with an estate. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times, if not more, you know, the bigger issue is that a beneficiary, as we talked about last week, did not get what they're supposed to get.
Right.
Or there might be some confusion. A lot of times these cases end up spinning off into a problem. When there's confusion, something happened that the fiduciary doesn't know how to deal with. Like, for example, let's say that a beneficiary doesn't want what you're trying to give to them because mm-hmm. they think it's not the right number.
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
Let's say that.
If you accept it, are you accepting a final payment? That's the question.
Well, if you're the executor and you tender the check to the beneficiary saying, here's your payment of $50,000 or whatever the number might be, and that beneficiary says, no, that's not right. I don't think you calculated it right. What do you then do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the money? Okay, that might be a twist and turn that where you need guidance from an attorney as to how to handle that. Might be a situation where you have a beneficiary that's died. Maybe the person died during the administration of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a head scratcher about now what do I do with their inheritance? How does this language in the will affect this per stirpes language or this per capita at each generation language or whatever these yeah. terms mean
right,
in this
right.
will? Well, that's what I normally see, you know, when we have a situation that really spins off into my office, you know, as far as doing the litigation type mm-hmm. part of it. When I say my office, I'm, you know, the guy who litigates these cases at Harvell and Collins. So, in many cases, these type unusual situations spin into something that creates liability for the trustee, for the executor, for mm-hmm. whoever the fiduciary may be. And in the event that this executor or trustee had just sought competent legal counsel when these twists and turns appeared and presented themselves,
mm-hmm.
then the issue would have been handled appropriately, correctly under the law, and there would be no liability. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these type situations, they show their ugly head 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later, and we're mm-hmm. having to unfold all this and then seek recovery from that fiduciary personally because they did not handle the situation correctly under the law, because maybe yeah. they just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it ends up.
A lot of this is understandable only because they're not professionals at this.
Right.
They don't do it every day.
I think it's important for us to hasten to say, Wes and myself, and of course we have other lawyers at the law firm who are also assisting in these areas, is that, you know, Ben, just because you need some advice about you serving as a power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
you've already opened up the estate. You need some advice. You have a trust and you're the trustee and you need some advice. This does not mean that your lawyer has to completely take over mm-hmm. every little detail of the administration of what you are doing. You know, you just need some advice.
Right.
Maybe you only need an hour of advice.
Right.
Maybe you only need 3 or 4 hours of advice. Maybe you just need some guidance. I had a file just yesterday that kind of falls into this category
mm-hmm.
of everything is very well organized. The fiduciary is a very smart lady. She's doing a wonderful job. But fortunately, she had she did exactly what we're talking about right now, which was to come to see a lawyer
mm-hmm.
to just make sure that things were on track. And because let's keep in mind, there's distribution issues. There are also tax issues.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a death, when there's an administrator or an executor or maybe even a trustee, a trust, there are certain tax returns, a fiduciary return, which, of course, that word is very complicated, isn't it? Basically,
mm-hmm.
the fiduciary income
sure.
tax return is many times required. You have to finalize the final tax return for the deceased. They're 1040. You may not have an estate tax return because the estates now have to be well in excess of $5 million
right.
to trigger an estate tax return. And so few people have estates over $5 million, certainly in eastern North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that there could be a fiduciary return, and there is most definitely the final 1040. And so for the lawyer to kind of keep the train on track, on an hourly rate for a few hours
mm-hmm.
is very worthwhile. And I have to say this to our listeners because I want them to understand that there's just so much misinformation out there. People think that if they come in and talk to a lawyer about handling an estate, that the lawyer gets a percentage of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lawyer takes right. a percentage of the trust,
mm-hmm.
or that this is going to cost tens of thousands of dollars. You know, these are not the normal things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the great exceptions to the rule. Most of our work is done on an hourly rate. If we spend 3 or 4 hours, we spend 3 or 4 hours. If we spend 1 hour, we spend 1 hour. If we spend 20 hours, then we spend 20 hours. But there's always – the client would know why we've spent 20 hours on
mm-hmm.
the file, because they realize that there are some complications that have created those circumstances. So better to ask the questions, to seek some advice on the front end, to keep the train on the right track and spend a few dollars mm-hmm. with some legal guidance than to allow the train to get off track. And then there we are really having to spend a considerable amount of time, not to mention this spinoff, if you will, into fiduciary litigation, which goes over to the litigators of the world like Wes. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking, you know, a considerable amount of time, which then reflects a considerable amount of billing.
I would imagine, again, people hearing this, they may have elderly relatives or they're already named as an executor or they know that it's going to be happening that way. They might be getting a little scared about what they have to do. Is there any insurance against mistakes that you make or are they ever bonded?
I don't know about fiduciary quote liability insurance. It might exist at some mm-hmm. Reinsurance type, you know,
right.
large company for huge files.
Sure,
you know, it probably does actually.
Yeah.
But
some
you know,
everything.
For the mom and pop type of fiduciary mm-hmm. Factual circumstances that Wes and I and most law firms are dealing with in Eastern North Carolina, you know, to have insurance to cover those issues is difficult. Now,
it's only going to cover negligence, though. It's not going to cover any intentional acts.
Well, oh, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And
yeah.
then, you know, also on the bonding issue, you know, you're required to post a bond, you know, mm-hmm. unless that's waived.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that does
most
come
times
up sometimes.
It's waived, though, right?
It's waived in the document. If you don't have a document, if you don't have a will, mm-hmm. then if it's just an administration, then obviously the statute is going to require that.
Okay. So. All right. Again, questions. Your questions are welcome at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law online at harvellandcollins.com. And, of course, in the studio right now with us, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, talking about administration of estates and how the fiduciary responsibility.
Right. You know, another thing that has kind of become more of an issue in the past year or two mm-hmm. with the things we've talked about in the program about the clerks of court being more detailed, having a higher mm-hmm. Accounting and documentation requirement than they've ever had before in the states
mm-hmm.
is that not only does this issue of fiduciary liability come up when we're talking about handling the money and making sure the beneficiaries get what they're entitled to get, but in the event that there's a problem with filing accurate accountings or a problem with filing the accurate inventories documents with the court in a timely manner, you know, years ago, that was just kind of a phone call, we'll work it out, it'll be fine, that kind of thing. Now the clerk is issuing orders, mm-hmm. you know, in the various counties, requiring things to be filed by a certain time. And in the event that these things are not filed in a certain time, then the remedy there is contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
You're then hauled into court for a hearing on contempt.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes we run into situations where we have maybe co-executors. Maybe we have one that's younger and one that's maybe much older that, or just someone who's not really working with us.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we can't get the information that we need. I was just meeting with a family last week where we had, the daughter from a previous marriage from the wife who had died and then the stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
Now the stepfather's like 85 and now the daughter's like 55. So, and they're co-executors and they just can't get it together.
Right.
Because
right.
the 85-year-old is maybe knows all the information
mm-hmm.
about what his wife had and the accounts and so on and so forth, but just can't get the information together. So then we've got this other co-executor, the stepdaughter, in a position where she's getting orders from the clerk of court and is concerned that she's going to be found in contempt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a kind of a new day with regard to these type things.
Maybe also highlights the issue of co-executors. That's a difficulty.
It does.
Ben, let's lay this fundamental out there as well. An executor of an estate, an administrator of an estate, a trustee of a trust is not liable for the debts or obligations or the problems, if you will, mm-hmm. of the principal.
Not personally.
They're not personally liable for these things.
Right.
We get tremendous inquiry about this.
I would imagine.
Most people think so. Folks are settling their father's estate, and their father has, you know, all of these hospital bills, all mm-hmm. of these huge liens that are out there. And there isn't money sufficient to satisfy all of these creditors. And yet here the son is the executor of the estate. Now, these files particularly need to be looked at very, very carefully with legal guidance, because the son is not personally liable for the debts of his father. Mm-hmm. But if we make a mistake along the way, then the fiduciary, the son, if you will, could potentially become personally liable, because creditors were paid out of sequence, out of class. We lawyers would discuss it in that terminology. And this can create this liability. So, again, a few hours of consultation when you are a fiduciary, when you are an executor, a trustee, a power of attorney, is worth its weight in gold. And we will continue to give examples of this, not just in the estate arena, even in the power of attorney arena. Mm-hmm. How do you keep records under the power of attorney? How do you properly make those, quote, cash payments that are being required mm-hmm. by the sitter every week, or, you know, the yard man who comes twice a week and wants $50 each time, and you've been just paying him in cash.
Right.
You see, there is a proper way for an agent under the power of attorney to handle these kind of things so as to protect themselves from any kind of liability.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are the agent under a power of attorney, if you are an executor, an administrator, a trustee, a fiduciary, mm-hmm. then it is worth it, your weight in gold, to seek some advice and just make sure that you are on track with regard to things. Because, again, as we started out the program, this is a very vibrant area of the law right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, as you said, you're dealing with a lot of small estates where somebody, I would imagine that, you know, the person has passed away on that Monday, a bill arrives, and they feel like they got to write the check right then. I mean, that's pretty common understanding.
Well, that's right. And then when you get into the issue of, you know, explaining how this works, I think
right.
you understand how it works. But in the estate arena, you don't just pay the bill when it comes in. And the reason why is because let's say we have $20,000 of assets
mm-hmm.
and $40,000 of debts.
Right.
And those debts come in all shapes and sizes: medical bills, tax liability, you know, credit cards, mm-hmm. Taxes that are due on the house, you know, things like that. So we don't just pay the first bill that comes in.
Right.
And pay them in order, because then we're going to run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do is we have to give the notice to creditors that goes in the newspaper. Obviously, people have seen that. They know about that.
Sure.
And then that's a 90-day period of time for the claims to come in. And then when the proper claims come in against the estate, we then characterize them by class, as Cecil was just indicating.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay those as required by the North Carolina General Statutes. And those who fall in the lower class may not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event
right.
that we pay them out of order, and then those first or second or third class creditors that are at the front of the line who were supposed to get paid,
yes.
who are they going to look to?
Yeah.
They're going to look to that fiduciary who made the mistake individually. So that's basically what Cecil was saying there.
Yeah, a good reason to pay attention, and another good reason to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins for your legal help. You can go to harvellandcollins.com. You can also reach them at 726-9050, and we'll have more in just a moment. Welcome back, and we're on such a great topic, really, about fiduciary responsibilities and liabilities.
Well, Ben, I think I was talking too much during the break, and I'll just repeat that on the air now, and then we'll probably be done for the day. I understand that I'm going to be back on Thursday because Andrew is at the North Carolina Bar Association section meeting for this very type of law. Andrew Foster, he will be attending the Kiowa Island Conference that is the end of this week, Thursday and Friday, and into the weekend, and therefore he won't be able to do the Thursday program, but I'll come in Thursday at 8:30 and do that program. What I was saying during the break real quickly, Ben, is that, you know, we all as individuals, you know, our dream is to get a bill on a Monday and pay it on a Tuesday. You know, a lot of folks are that way. They get their bill, they pay their
bill.
When you are a fiduciary, the foundation is different. You're at your risk to get a bill on a Monday and pay it on a Tuesday, and the law does not require that. This is a significant change of circumstance from the way most of us think about bill paying.
Different mindset.
Okay. In an estate, very quickly, just to say again what I said in the break, you know, we're not required to pay any bill in an estate for 3 months, because we are allowed as the executor to obtain all the bills and then get them in order according to class and pay them accordingly. So to get a bill on a Monday and pay it on a Tuesday as an executor of an estate can be a real problem in certain files. The same is true, you know, as a fiduciary under a power of attorney. The same is true as a trustee under a trust. So it's very difficult for all of us to understand that the law just is so very different when we are handling the affairs of another versus when we handle our own affairs. You know, and so this is kind of what the lay of the land is today. We'll continue this talk on Thursday. Wes and I will both be here next Tuesday, and we'll continue to give some examples about this.
Yeah, and I think as always, as we say, if you need that advice, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins. But this is an area that almost everyone is going to cross at some point in time, even though you may only do it once, you know, as an executor or administrator for somebody. But almost everybody's going to face this.
Well, everyone dies.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and most people have a little something, at least as far as assets go, when they do pass away. So the law requires us to deal with those in a certain way.
And believe me, even if it's just getting the car transferred, you know, from one name to another.
Absolutely.
You still got to follow that procedure.
That's correct.
If you want to find out more, call on the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City, and online at harvellandcollins.com.